You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show, where we're freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we're officially in hour number three, and we're glad to be in hour number three. We had two really, really good hours. Our thanks to our good friend Dr. Ted Brower from healthmasters.com, whose show airs every day we broadcast right before ours, and also to my good friend Doug Hagman, the Hagman & Hagman Report that's here on Global Star Radio Network. And what an interesting set of perspectives we got for those two gentlemen. And I would just say this, okay, listen, food, lots of water, lots of ammo, lots of guns, lots of friends and family that you can trust. And then you need lots of prayer. I would make sure that you have your spiritual house in order. Things are getting tough, but a lot of people leave out what we're going to talk about next. You can prep all you want, but you need to make sure that you can take care of yourself in tough times. And we're talking about your medical needs. And for that, we've got our very own Katie Whalen, our health reporter. And Katie, I want to welcome you in. And let's talk about what people need to know with regard to their health.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thank you. Health Report Sunday. I am calling this health report, this is Cynical Sunday, just because I picked out a few articles that had, I thought people should know about, and I want people to start thinking outside the box. When you read information from the major news sites, it's all happy-clappy and everything looks great. Think about what the intent was behind it. How did we get to this place? Don't just read. Open your minds up, people. Open up and look around the corner and see who's pulling the levers behind the curtain. So, as you'll hear in this segment, I have my own view on these articles, and they all play into a simple theme, and that's big pharma is very big business. We all know that. I talk about that a lot. But this is Hegelian dialectic at its finest. You create the problem, make big bucks, creating a dangerous solution. And until the world's sheep wake up to this vicious and violent cycle, we will all be pawns in this deadly game. This blows me away. This is from Dallas, CBSLocal.com, and it's cancer treatment as simple as a flu shot. I read this and I knew immediately what is behind this. This started at Baylor Hospital. And the story goes on about a young college student named Carly Rutledge who had cancer. And what basically is happening is Baylor made it through their first phase of FDA approval for the immunotherapy treatment of Rutledge's cancer. So doctors say it is a landmark victory that could change the way they treat many other types of cancers. Change from an acute deadly disease to a chronic disease. We could probably do the same for hypertension or diabetes. We don't cure, but we control the disease, says Dr. Maurizio Ghisoli. My first reaction before even finishing this, which was confirmed by reading the rest of it, is they're, like I said, the Hegelian dialect. Why do these people have cancer in the first place? There's so many reasons, but it's toxins and all kinds of things that are happening to us that are making the cancer rate soar among college students. Look at this, a college student, people in their 30s, 40s, 50s. When I was growing up, an occasional, most people died of heart attacks or strokes. Cancer was sort of rare, and now everyone has it. So what do? They vaccinate us from childhood with all these heavy metals and toxins and horrible aluminum and mercury and aborted fetal tissue and thermosol is mercury and all kinds of these horrible things. And they poison our systems, so our bodies develop these diseases, and then they come up with a vaccine to combat the disease. Not cure it, but manage it. Is this incredible? It's sad. It's sad, and it's disheartening. But
well, they have all the exits covered, Katie, and you're right. You know, I first heard this thought when I was in college, long, long time ago. Cancer's big business, and what business would the medical profession have, and what interest would they have in trying to cure it? And I thought, how outrageous is that? What a stupid thing to say. And now I reflect back decades later, it made good business sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's so much money. There's so much money in the vaccination industry and creating our ill bodies. And then they're coming up with new vaccines to manage the symptoms of it. So it says, this immunotherapy is a shot typically given once a month. It's personalized. It's a personalized vaccine developed from cells taken from the patient's tumor. The therapy injects customized genes back into the body so the cancer cure no longer so the cancer can no longer resist the patient's immune system. But what's so insidious about this entire thing is that we're not thinking through, because many people are going to hear this and think, oh my gosh, this is terrific. This is great. This is a breakthrough. You know, if you have a loved one and they have cancer, wouldn't you prefer that you prolong their life and manage the disease rather than them not having it all or taking care of it holistically or all the other options that are out there? So, of course, when they offer the solution like this, and it's the only thing you're hearing in the news and on the media, people are going to race to it. And I just want to slap my head and say, people, wake up and look what they're doing to you, because this is all part of the mindset, the mind control, the Hegelian dialect that is going on. They tell you this. They tell you over and over and over that the same thing, to the point where a whole society believes that this is the only way through and the only way out and the only way up. But it's not. So that's why this show is out there. So it's it goes on to say that Rutledge is now a college student in remission with no side effects. She's one of the reasons the Cancer Center is one step closer to FDA approval. I'm sure that'll come. It's probably already been paid for. But there are other success stories. Dr. Pneumonitis remembers how the research began here with a man named Grover Cummings. He was diagnosed months before he was supposed to walk his daughter down the aisle. He just wanted to live long enough to make this happen. And this is what I'm talking about. I mean, in a sense, it's a great thing. But if you look behind it, it's a horrendous dupe. If why are we all coming down with these diseases? So think about, when you read these articles, look behind the curtain. Think about what you know about the system. And here's something real similar. Hope for Alzheimer's sufferers as first ever vaccine attacks tangles in the brain which may cause memory loss. So here we go again. Story number two, coming out about the same time, which does the same thing. We know we've had Dr. Toshiro come on. We've heard Dr. Ted Brower talk about this, about the heavy metals and the toxins and how they affect the brain and how they gum up the brain. They don't leave the body. Heavy metals like fluoride and mercury, you can't just over time, they won't simply dissipate out of the system. You actually have to chelate them. You have to work very hard to get these heavy metals out. They will lodge in the brain, lodge in the major organs, in the liver, and the heart and cause major damage years down the road. So we know that the vaccines have these in them, and our chemical spraying in the air and the fluoride in our water and all the chemicals they're using in our foods. So that's why we have amazing numbers of Alzheimer's and dementia. But now they have a vaccine. So scientists have developed a vaccine which targets the tau, T-A-U, tau protein in the brain. Tau proteins form tangles blocking nutrients from getting to cells, which causes them to die, triggering memory loss associated with the disease. Researchers hope vaccines will be able to slow disease progression. So here again, we have a medical system that only seems to focus on slowing progression, symptom suppression, not getting to the core of disease, where we can just live out a happy, healthy life. Other treatments focus on improving symptoms and have to be given early. There you go. So a treatment for Alzheimer's disease is a step closer after very important clinical trials got underway to test a potential vaccine. Researchers have developed the first ever jab, which attacks and kills the tangles in sufferers' brains. Alzheimer's can be caused when knots form in the transport system in the brain, meaning key nutrients can't move through the cells, which eventually die. But the new vaccine attacks the proteins in the tangles, called tau, hopefully removing them all together, slowing the progression of the disease. Current treatments for Alzheimer's disease focus on improving the symptoms, but few are able to halt its development. So they've moved beyond managing the symptoms to now just managing the disease. Experts at the Research Institute for the Care of Older People, I have never heard of that, called RICE, based at the Royal United Hospital in Bath, Somerset, have now started testing the treatment and are looking for more volunteers. So my comment on all of this is, do you see the problem here? We have stacks of research and information on how these heavy metals like aluminum and mercury found in vaccines, not to mention our environment, play a huge part in disorders of the brain, including Alzheimer's and dementia. And now the drug companies are turning around and investing in more vaccines to stop the progression of the very thing they have brought about, or at least are responsible for.
Well, they have to perpetuate the profit balance here. And, you know, I was watching a parody commercial today, and it was about Skittles. And this guy had Skittles on his face and clothes like he had the measles. And this girl comes up and she says, "I want your Skittles, but is it contagious?" And she grabbed a Skittle and she broke out in Skittles. And I thought there was only one thing missing from this commercial, and that was the vaccine. The vaccine.
Yeah. The Merck vaccine comes rushing to the rescue. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Everything is vaccine. We are being inundated. Vaccines are going to be so common. I mean, the vaccine will be touted as a miracle cure, or at the very least, something that will slow the progression of these diseases. The really insidious part of this is if you step back and look what they've done. Of course, people are going to flock to this new drug, this new vaccine. It will save their loved ones or prolong their lives, and I don't blame them. The point is, how did we get to this point? This is one big, giant case of a combination of, think about this, Dave, Munchausen syndrome by proxy and Hegelian dialect.
Explain that. Explain that. Yeah, I know what you mean, but go ahead and explain it.
Munchausen syndrome by proxy. I looked it up. It's a behavior pattern in which caregivers fabricate, exaggerate, or induce mental or physical health problems in those who are in their care, usually to gain attention or sympathy. I would say change that to enormous profits and power. So in a sense, it's a perfect blend of Munchausen by proxy and the Hegelian dialect. So with deception at its core, this behavior is elusive, potentially lethal, and frequently misdiagnosed as a form of child abuse. I replace that with population abuse or medical neglect. So that's my take on this. Unfortunately, we are their lab rats, and my solution is education. Do your own homework on vaccines and the brain and heavy metals. Don't take my word for it. Vaccines are going to be as common as drinking your morning coffee if we do not educate the public on all aspects of it, or we'll be endlessly caught in this loop and dependence on them. And that's the key word, dependence on them. Get back to the natural way of caring for your health, like diet to boost your immune system, nutritional supplements every day, exercise, spiritual cleaning of house, relationship with God, eating organic. By all means, challenge the system, question the system. And when you have the opportunity to do so, please encourage your friends and family to learn the whole story behind vaccines and listen to this show and share it with everyone you know, so that next time they read something about a breakthrough, they understand the machine behind that decision. So I have another story here which hits home with all dog lovers, and it has to do again with Big Pharma. Big Pharma accused by vet of over-vaccinating dogs, causing lesions, destruction of central nervous system. This is from truthkings.com. And I'll tell you one thing before I go out any further. I knew this a long time ago about vaccines. I had two dogs that lived to be 15. They were both about 60 pounds, and that's a good age for an older dog. I stopped vaccinating them at the age of 7. They had their rabies boosters all those years. Remember when it was every year you had to go in and get your dog vaccinated for rabies? Mm-hmm. Well, then they changed it to 3, and now they've got it at 5. I think they've known this for a while. I don't know how they ever let that one slip. But I stopped vaccinating them, and they didn't die of cancer. They simply died of old age. They had no tumors. They had nothing of the sort. So I've got my current dog now. I stopped vaccinating her. I hope the dog police are not listening to this. But I stopped vaccinating her at 7, and I feed her very, very expensive, healthy food. I don't give her table scraps, and she's in her 15th year, and she just chased and killed a rabbit the other day, so she's pretty perky. This story is great. It says, I'm going to disclose that I'm a dog owner before I go any further. I'm biased. I love my dog. My dog developed cancer 5 years ago. It was surgically removed, but when the vet did my follow-up visit, she told me that if I didn't do chemo, I'd be killing the dog. She told me the dog had a 95% chance of dying within 6 months as the cancer would return. When I suggested that maybe due to my feeding the dog's science diet in his early years, I'd possibly contributed to the cancer, she told me there was no proof of that. I told her, well, you would say that seeing you have a science diet stand in your lobby. I went on to just change the diet to natural foods. The cancer never returned. Isn't that interesting? So we also seem to have a tremendous number of dogs with behavioral problems, largely due to over-vaccination and processed pet foods. Vaccines are known to cause inflammation of the brain, as well as lesions throughout the brain and central nervous system. The medical term for this is encephalitis, and vaccines' role is acknowledged in the Merck manual. Merck is a vaccine manufacturer. Well, what about those vaccines? Vaccines cause cancer in cats at their injection site, and according to the Journal of Veterinary Medicine, August 2003, vaccines cause cancer in dogs at the injection site. If this is out there, why are people doing this, and why are vets pushing this? Probably not all vets, but because they're being funded. That's what pays the bills, is the pharmaceutical companies and all these vaccines. And the vaccines cause autoimmune hemolytic anemia, and there's just a list. Epilepsy is a symptom of encephalitis, as we already know, can be caused by vaccines. So I suggest that you read the full article And it's very telling and disturbing. I really do hate to paint any industry with a broad brush, the article goes on to say. But I haven't had a ton of great experiences with vets. They constantly seem to push meds, rarely care what the dogs eat, and seem to be more concerned with billing you more. Doesn't that sound like a regular health report about humans?
I mean, they're doing the same. It's United Healthcare for dogs, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing to our animals. Not to mention the food that comes from China. Please, when you go into these stores, these commercial stores, look at the toys you're buying. Okay, all the fabrics and the rope toys and the chew toys and the pig ears, they're coming from China, folks. Don't do it. That's also causing a lot of this these cancers and issues. I went into one of those stores, and I couldn't find a single... I found one chew toy that was made in the U.S. So, anyway...
Well, Katie, we want to give people some reason to chew on your work. So, we don't have a whole lot of time left, so let's tell people how they can follow your good work.
I love your segues, Dave. They're very good. That was good.
Thank you.
You can reach me if you... My specialty is essential oils. I'm really into getting people... Dave talked about getting your home food and your ammo. Get your home medicine cabinet, okay? Home medicine cabinet, essential oils is one good way to do that. Call me at 720-630-3111, 720-630-3111, and we will set you up with your own home medicine cabinet. How's that?
That's terrific.
This
has been great news, Katie, and I got to tell you, this segment's becoming so popular. I'm getting emails about you.
Good.
Pretty soon you're going to get marriage proposals.
And
it's not going to stop. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
I think so. this first time listening to the show, Katie is not a stranger to the airwaves or to the media or to...
No, I got a little background.
Soap operas. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
soap
yeah.
operas, yes. Nurse Mary on The Young and the Restless from many
That's
years
right.
ago.
Mm-hmm. So. That's right. Little did you know when you were playing Nurse Mary, you would be doing a health report.
That's the extent of my medical background. I played one on TV.
Okay. Well, on that note, we got to scoot.
Thanks,
Step aside
Dave.
For these messages. Thanks, Katie. And when we come back, James White will be with us, and possibly Katie too. Long story. We'll talk to you on the other side.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Rolled out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Well, folks, once again, I tell you about my friend Steve Quayle. Convert your cash into precious metals, the only thing that's going to hold its value when the crash comes. And again, Steve's number is 406-586-4842. And I would also encourage everyone to make sure you're stocked up on food, as you've heard us say numerous times tonight. And you can go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And as a consequence, we've got all these wonderful specials. They're there on the website for you to look at. Order judiciously, but you better be ordering, because if you don't have food, I don't want you breaking into my house. Okay, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And again, for some of the very best supplies in survival tactics, survival supplies, I would say my choice would be readymaderesources.com and Bob Griswold. and you give Bob a call tomorrow. He'll consult with you about your needs, and you can reach Bob at 1-800-627-3809. And one more quick announcement. I'll say this preliminarily to bringing on James White. And that's... we are finally getting this venture off the ground with Before It's News. They're interested in doing a radio network, and they're going to run our weekday show, our Monday through Friday show that James and I host. And we're really excited to be a part of that. Mike Adams from Natural News and TalkNetwork.com, who also picks up our show, is a big part of this venture. We're really pleased to be working with Mike, as he's been a guest on this show many times, and we have such high regard. We hold him in such high regard, have such high respect for Mike. So we're taking off on all fronts with regard to the Common Sense Show. Is it going to be enough to make a difference? Are we going to be able to wake up enough people? We need your help. It's not enough to come here and listen every week and every weekday from 4 to 5 Eastern. You need to help us. You need to tell your neighbors and say, hey, I heard this on Ted's show, or I heard this on Doug's show, and Katie had some interesting things to say about health that I think everybody should know about. You need to help spread the word. We don't have the time, energy, or resources to really reach all the people we'd like to reach. So we may have a growing listening audience, but I don't know that it's enough to make a difference. Only you and our collective efforts can make a difference in turning this back. And I'm going to say something here as I wait to get the high sign if we have James available. But I want to say this very clearly. I think it's very likely we're living in the last days. I truly do. I do think it's likely. But I also know that it doesn't have to be, because the Bible says we don't know the hour of the day. And I think that we need to live our life as if we can fight this back and we can reclaim some of our lost constitutional liberties. We can restore God to more of a prominent position, which he once held in this country. Certainly, God was at the foundation of a lot of our legal system, and this is what they teach every first-year law school student. So can I be sure these are the last days? No, that's what keeps me fighting. If I thought these were the last days, we may as well just lay down and take our beating. But as long as I have breath in me and I've got the energy to fight, I think that we need to fight to preserve not just the world for ourselves, but think about our children. Think about how bad things have deteriorated over the last several years. Think about the world you grew up in as a child, and think about what your children and some of your grandchildren are facing. That should be motivation enough to get people off the couch and doing things. What's the first step? Turn off the darn TV and get to work. Well, anyway, I'm told that we have my good friend James White, my broadcast partner for our Monday through Friday show, which airs right here on Global Star, WMQM, AM 1600 Memphis, WWVA out of Wheeling, West Virginia, 50,000 watt stations with lots of affiliates. But again, we need you. So let me bring in my partner, Jim. And Jim, these are exciting times for the Common Sense Show, but it's nothing to gloat about, because I think we're losing the war, don't you?
Well, first of all, David, I want to thank you very much for having me once again on your fine program. Hello, Katie, if you're still there. Good to talk to you all, as always. We did a great interview with Katie here, about a week or 10 days or so ago, and it was really good, and I think it played very well. We are living in dangerous and exciting times indeed, my friend. And, you know, are we winning? Are we losing? I'd say, you know, it depends. I guess it depends upon what perspective. Spiritually speaking, we're losing. You know, we are losing the spiritual battle. And there's many reasons for that. It's funny that you mentioned that right before I came on. I just finished an article, and I'll be publishing it tomorrow morning on Northwest Liberty News, and I'll be sending it over to you, Dave, if you'd be so kind once again to post it on Common Sense Show. I appreciate you posting my last one. But it's really basically breaks down why America's fallen, and it is because we have turned away from the Creator. And it's more detailed than that, but I would encourage everyone to look into that if they can. But, you know, Dave, what we're seeing right now is I talked to Paul Preston, as you know, our good friend Paul Preston. There's an event going on. This is pretty breaking news. Within about the last hour, I sent you a text. I'm not sure if you got the text. Paul Preston has very, very good sources. And the FBI right now are en route to the Oregon Federal Building with scores of fully armed men. And Paul Preston told me he supposes that Ahmed Bundy will be dead by the morning. they're going to kill everyone inside that that building, is what his sources tell him. They're not playing games. They're going to go in and they're just going to take them out. Now, I know that's harsh talk, but I'm just giving you the information that came from Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio, who's you know, both a good friend of ours, Dave. And Paul just doesn't say those things lightly. If Paul says that he has that information, I really believe it. So we could be seeing some really tomorrow morning, and Paul speculates because Obama's coming out with his new gun-grabbing plan in the morning, this would be very timely to be able to take out this militia group and then follow it up with the proposed assault weapons ban. What do you think about that, Dave?
I'm very disturbed by it.
Well, I had just mentioned when Doug was on that it was just on Steve Quayle's, top of Steve Quayle's page, from thelastgreatstand.com, Obama orders Hammond Ranch destroyed. Just came out. So there's a confirmation.
Yeah, you know, Jim, it's so disturbing. Doug and I, Doug Hagman, who was on in the last hour for the Hagman Report, we were talking about this in the last hour. And we both expressed the view, and our good friend Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers has also withdrawn his support for the actions going on at the Oregon Ranch, because it's a takeover of a federal building without a legitimate purpose. I mean, what's the end game here? It's only going to provoke violence, and it looks like that's what's heading for. And let me say this, you know Paul Preston a little better than I do, but with my interactions with Paul, I find him to be one of the most highly credible people that I know in this industry. And when he is telling you what he's telling you, it shook me to the core to hear you say these words. It wasn't just another person. It was Paul Preston. And first of all, you know, I would say this, Jim. Here'd be my overall reaction. One, I think these people were foolish to do what they did, to take over this building. But I also think the Obama administration, if I were advising them, which I certainly would not, but if I were advising the Obama administration, I would say be careful of not creating martyrs. If they're going to go there with the intention of wiping everybody out, they're making a huge mistake, because they will create martyrs and they will harden the resistance to gun confiscation that they want to enforce.
Yes, I agree.
Well, you know, we will have the opportunity to have Stuart Rhodes on the broadcast next week. He's scheduled to come on about midweek. So it'll be interesting to see. Let's just hope it's interesting and not tragic, what happens here in Oregon. And we'll be able to get right from Stuart Rhodes, we'll be able to get his reaction to this. But yeah, you know, I spoke with Jason Van Tatenhove, my former broadcast partner when I would broadcast on the Liberty Brothers. He now is the national media director for the Oath Keepers. And he had told me, and I asked him about this specifically. I talked to him on the phone quite a bit. He had said that the Oath Keepers, you know, this wasn't really the hill they wanted to die on because of the situation. You know, they're all for, of course, standing up to tyranny. Anybody that knows the Oath Keepers knows that they are. And I can attest to that. I've done a lot of video work for them. But, you know, sometimes there's you have to use prudence sometimes. And you know, there's certain fights that you don't really need to get involved in when the end game looks tragic. And it looks like this one's going to be tragic. It's just too bad. I hope that cooler heads prevail, and whoever's taken over this federal building decides that their life is not worth, this is not the hill to die on, so to speak, to coin a phrase.
Yeah, let me just speak tactically for a second. The images of Waco are really imprinted on my mind. I recall that the ATF officials were approaching the compound in Waco, Texas, that Koresh was in, and it was the people inside the compound. Now, listen, I know people are coming at you with guns and full battle gear, and I understand that people panic and they open fire, but they fired the first shots. That memory, which is played over and over and over, where we see ATF agents that are killed in the field by these people at the Waco compound, those images are imprinted on the minds of the federal officials that are going to this scene. They want to go home to their families. They're not going to show up there. They're not going to fire three shots over the head and hope the other side gives up. If they go in there, it's going to be standard police orders. And what do the standard police orders do? You get one order to put your gun down, and the second order is the trigger that's pulling, or the finger that's pulling the trigger that puts the bullet right between your eyes. And that's what they're going to see in this compound. I believe they're going to get one opportunity to vacate. If they don't vacate, I think it's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, you know, despite the fact, Dave, that we're living in a time, I think more than ever, where you know, many Americans question the validity of what our federal government is doing. You know, and I submit to everyone out there listening that what goes on at the federal level, you know, is important, but really concentrate locally if you have to put your energy and efforts into any, you know, behind anything. Do it with your local politics. But, you know, generally speaking, Dave, I would say the consensus of most of America are they can't have a group of 150, 200 people taking over federal buildings, armed. Also reported by Paul is a person named Ryan Payne. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Ryan Payne. I wrote an article, actually, and did a video about him during the Bundy Ranch event. He's involved in this as well. And Paul told me he has three of his sources told him that Ryan Payne's an infiltrator. He's an infiltrator to facilitate this event. So, you know, I don't have evidence, again, to prove that, except Paul, came from Paul Preston, and his sources are usually rock solid. Now, I wrote an article because I also had an inclination that Ryan Payne was some sort of a plant. When I met him personally and his people, and my determination was that there was something fishy about him as well. But, you know, there's a lot going on, Dave, behind the scenes, I think, that we're not really aware of. And what's going to happen, I'm afraid, I think they're trying to. They realize they can't voluntarily get the guns from people, so they want to really demonize it as much as they can. And this is going to help demonize it, no doubt about it. And when Obama comes out tomorrow or the next day and says we have to ban these assault rifles because of, you know, these wackos in Oregon, his words, not mine, you know, people are going to sort of say, yeah, maybe he's got a point there. I mean, it doesn't help the overall movement in the long run. I think it hurts it.
Well, there's no question that it hurts the movement. We talked about this extensively with Doug Hagman in the last hour. It's an action by taking over this federal building without an end game. And I admire people that want to stand up to this tyranny with the federal government. But this is not the form to do it in. This is something I really wanted to say, but I wasn't able to get to it because so much information came out of Ted Brewer, so much information came out of Doug Hagman. I didn't get a chance to do this, but I want to bring this up right here and right now. The one thing that I look at here, Jim, with regard to this whole event is the fact that the people do not have the ability to stand up to the federal government in terms of a military action. This is a direct action in which people are hunkering down inside a bunker kind of situation in a defensive position. They can't hope to prevail. They can't hope to win. The only way that the people can ever stand up to any kind of government tyranny militarily would be through, you know, abject guerrilla violence, IEDs and the like of what we see in the Middle East or what we saw the Viet Cong. So let me take this a step further. If we're ever going to see a direct confrontation against federal government tyranny from a military, you know, a force multiplier kind of situation, it has to come from within our own military itself, from dissident factions that are going to break away and are going to say, hell no, we're not going to do this to our people. We are standing up to this tyranny right now. That'll be the beginning of the Civil War. But the people who have guns out there and think, yeah, Mullen Leyva, I'm going to stand up there. You know what? You're committing suicide. And you're demonizing the message that we're trying to reasonably present on the airwaves here. When we go out and we act like thugs, this is how the public who doesn't know what's going on is going to perceive it, the entire movement. Jim, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I tend to agree with you, absolutely. You know, and I still feel, maybe call me old-fashioned, but I still feel that we can intellectually outmaneuver these people. I think we generally, as a whole, are smarter than they are. I think they have a lot of hubris and a lot of arrogance, and they don't really, they fumble and bumble along on things. I don't know how they actually, sometimes don't know how they get anything done. Now, are there certain elements inside the government that are very well organized and sort of at an operational level? Yes, of course. But as far as the day-to-day operations go, I'm not too confident. But you know, Dave, we're as we move along here in 2016, what I'm afraid we're going to find is, you know, especially with, you know, I don't want to. We talked about Donald Trump quite a bit, of course, but we're coming down to the wire here. If he's actually going to be the candidate, you know, that we're looking at a crossroads, I really believe, and I don't want to make such a big deal out of Trump, but we are certainly reaching a crossroads in this country as far as in 2016. I think if miraculously, and I think it would almost be miraculously, I really do, if Donald Trump somehow ended up in the White House, I really believe that we actually, not because he's a great guy or because he's, you know, not, you know, done some bad things, I'm sure he probably has, but, you know, because we actually have a chance, I think, if he's in the White House, if it goes with, if we go with Hillary, this nation, I believe, is literally years away from being just basically dead as a nation. And I hate to sound dramatic, but we really are. 2016, Dave, is really, I think, a crossroads for this nation like no other time, like no other time, because things are getting so bad that, you know, we're going to go one way or another. And I know which way I want it to go. And I certainly hope that the good people of this country make the right decision when the time comes.
Well, when Adolf Hitler ushered in the Nazi Party, a lot of the Jewish professors and people who were going to be considered dissident factions of the German society who weren't necessarily Jewish, they did the smart thing. They left the country. One of the things that I'm considering myself, I don't know logistically how I'd pull it off, but I've wondered to myself, if Hillary is elected, should I stay in this country? Will there be a huge expatriation movement just because we know, so many of us know, how evil she is? I mean, the trail of bodies alone that have followed this woman into the White House, then you've got Benghazi, you've got her treason with the 36,000 national security emails on her private computer that she should be in prison for each one of them. I mean, this woman is dangerous. Is it going to be safe to stay in the country? Jim, do you think we're going to see people leaving the country in record numbers if she's elected?
Well, you bring up a great point, Dave. And, you know, you've heard Hollywood liberals protest in the past, if this person gets elected, I'm moving out of the country, or this person gets elected. You know, that was folly. Just because they weren't really in line with Bush, for example, his idea. But no, the point you bring up is a serious one, because fellows like you and I, we may really seriously be in danger, like Roundup, we're dissidents in danger type thing. If Hillary becomes president. So I think it's what you say has a lot more weight probably than at any time in history when people are going to move out of the country and protest. This may be an exodus out of the country for, you know, as again, not to sound too dramatic, but it could be a life and death or a freedom issue if we don't go. But I feel that a lot of us will be protected. I think I will, my view. That's for another reason, but perhaps you'll be able to see that when I publish that article tomorrow.
You know, one of the things that really captured my attention was Hillary Clinton accusing Donald Trump of somehow adding fodder to ISIS because they're using his image in recruiting videos. And the way that she expresses it, this is a nonverbal observation of mine from her nonverbal behavior, but it's as if she would rather oppose Donald Trump than she would to oppose Muslim extremists who would mean us harm. When you look at how she expresses what Donald Trump stands for as they use him as a recruiting poster, she's so far out there right now, she sounds like she's in support of ISIS. And yes, if you were the Secretary of State, and yes, if you're the president supposedly overseeing the CIA, we know that doesn't happen, but we know the CIA created ISIS, and when Donald Trump said that these two created ISIS, he's correct. They had lots of company, as we've had Scott Bennett on this show, former Army Special Operations Officer, tell us this. But, Jim, this woman is more loyal to glorifying the rights of Muslims who would come into this country and do us harm, doesn't want them screened, doesn't want them vetted. She's more loyal to them than she is to a man who's saying, oh, let's put on the brakes here. Let's make sure who we know we're letting in the country. If that isn't treason, I don't know what is.
Well, you know, Dave, it's been said that you can judge a person by people they associate with. And I think that if you look back, the evidence is copious amounts of evidence that, you know, the Hillary and Bill Clinton Foundation or whatever, you know, fictitious name, or I shouldn't say fictitious, whatever name they conjured up to bilk people out of just bilk people out of their money. I think it's the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation. If you look at the track record of the people that they have got in bed with, these are not nice people. These are murderers. These are leaders of countries that are dictators that believe in murder and perpetrate it on their population. And they actually give how the money's funneled. You know, she was Secretary of State, funneled through her nonprofit organization to do favors at the State Department for these leaders of these tyrannical, oppressive governments. I mean, it's a complete and total fraud. I mean, her whole life is a fraud. I mean, it really is. She's a scoundrel and a scam. And to the fact that she's not literally right now, I'm amazed in a country that's supposed to be so concerned with law and order. And you hear it all the time, how law and order, and the biggest police probably department and collectively in the world. Yet this woman continues to walk amongst us. And I say, Dave, her crimes are legion. How can she get away with doing what she's done? I just don't get it. I mean, either she's got the dirt on a ton of people, or she's got their children kidnapped somewhere and holding them up in a secret location. I don't know. I'm being funny here, but Dave, I don't know how in the world the woman gets away with it. Can you explain that? I mean, she's committed crimes that you and I would, they'd lock us in the deepest dungeons and throw away the key. Wouldn't you hear about us anymore?
I think George Carlin, the late comedian, expressed it best. And I'll leave out all his explicatives, but he, you can go to YouTube, and if you're thick-skinned and you can put up with the foul language, he describes it very well, where he says, you and I aren't in their blanking club. She's in the club. Bill's in the club. The Bushes are in the club. We have America's royalty. They're in the club. You're not in the club. I'm not in the club. Our listening audience is not in the club. And George Carlin's right. And they can do no wrong. I mean, we look at Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon, you know, pissed off the establishment because he was winding down the Vietnam War and costing them profits. But they couldn't kill another president, so what they did is they implicated him in Watergate. 18 minutes of missing tape. Let's compare that to 36,000 emails of national security emails that are supposed to stay confined within the firewalls of the State Department. Instead, they're on her home computer. And we all know what they do with. They have to do with her role in Benghazi, Obama's role in Benghazi. This is all big, let's delete emails and cover it up. And she was doing the job herself. There's no question that's what was going on. So 18 minutes of tape got a president to resign under pressure for fear of impeachment. And this woman is able to do something much more monstrous on a much more grander scale. And nothing happens to her. And we're considering her to be our president. There's absolutely no law and order in this country. There are no rules that we play by.
Well, you see, Dave, this is a very good example of even the fact that she's even considered. Just shows you the heart condition of this country. I mean, we're as I've talked about before, you know, Katie's a health reporter. She can sense probably heart issues. I think she would agree this nation has got a heart problem, and it's a matter of our heart has turned away from God, turned away from His law, turned away from fearing God, and we've turned our thoughts to ourselves and our own lusts. And it says that's what's going to happen, and that's what's happening now. So, you know, Dave, you know, I guess you talk about being under judgment. How could a country that has killed 57 million babies and then some of those very babies' body parts get traded over to the mail? I mean, it just pains me even to bring that up again. I brought it up before, but it's so disgusting to me that I almost want to vomit. But we're in a country. That's the nation we live in. So you tell me that people say, oh, God bless America, God bless America. Really? God's going to bless America so we can just continue to live the same way we're living without turning away and repenting? That's the problem, see? We have a heart condition, and we're on life support. Katie, I hear you want to try.
James, yes. How did you know? James, I completely agree with you on this, and I think it's to the point where we can't change the system. I think the only thing we can do is change our own hearts and our own spiritual walk. And I believe there are going to be pockets of protection that God will administer, and that will be our only hope. I don't know if leaving the country will be it. I think just rock steady faith, we will be protected. And I agree with you, and I'd love to end 3 hours of pretty tough news to take with, don't ever lose sight of your faith in God to protect you from the enemy.
Well, I agree with that. Faith has to be at the center of what we do. Also, I'll share some wisdom from my research experience, and that there's something called the Hawthorne effect, that when people know they're being observed and researched, it changes their behavior and can alter the research outcome. And I'm going to give you a little phrase that goes with this. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I think that the American people would be wise to say that what we're doing is not working. And if you haven't embraced Jesus as your Savior, if you haven't embraced the Word, if you don't honor the time-honored traditions of our Constitution and civil liberties, which go heart and heart with everything else, it's time to do so. You have to change the way you look at things so the things we look at change. And this just about pretty much brings us close to the end of our show. Jim, I wanted to take just a second here to promote what we do again during the week. If you're just joining us here in the third hour, we are on Global Star Radio Network and these wonderful terrestrial outlets. And we're on from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. And we would encourage everybody to listen in. Our archives will be right here, as they always are, here on Global Star Radio Network, as well as on The Common Sense Show. And we would encourage you to tune in. And again, thanks to our new partner that we're moving towards integrating our show with Before It's News. And they're starting their own radio network, and our hats are off to them, and we're proud to be partnering with them in that venture as well, too. And, Jim, we have a lot of demons to slay, so we'll be back at this tomorrow afternoon right here on Global Star Radio Network, 4 o'clock Eastern. Katie, thanks for a great job on the health report. Our thanks to Ted Brower from healthmasters.com, and Doug and Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Thanks to Doug for coming on. And James, my friend, always great to have you on. I'm proud to be partnered with you. And we're going to call it a night. We'll be back next week, and we're working on some very, very, very big stories. That's it. We will see you tomorrow, right back here tomorrow afternoon. Go out and have a great week. God bless.